You see, you're gonna have to have more than heart. How often we make such commitments, like a young man, 20 years old, 21, saying to his girlfriend, "I love you with all my heart. I would never leave you." 3 weeks later, he finds someone better. "Oh, excuse me, see you later. I found someone a little better." Did he mean what he said with all his heart? He probably did, but he didn't have the capacity to follow through with that commitment.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. When Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, he replied, "It is to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength." Now, most of us have heard 100 sermons on loving God with all our heart, but today, Pastor Wayne is going to unpack the rest of the verse, the part about the soul, mind, and strength. We need them all. Here he is with a message entitled, More Than Heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to be beginning a new series. It'll start every single month. This month, it's called Matters of the Heart. We're going to tackle the greatest commandment in the Word of God. Jesus himself says that this is the greatest commandment. And we're going to unpack it a little bit as we talk about the fact that it's more than heart. We all have heard that word heart a lot. You can have a broken heart. You can have a shriveled heart. You can even lose your heart. You can have your heart betrayed. You can have your heart belittled. So many things. And the heart is sort of like hard to define because it's basically that inner core of who you are, where you make your convictions. Can you see it? No. But can you see the results of it? Absolutely. There's a lot of people, what they have in their heart is not what they have outside, or what they have outside is not in their heart. And it can actually be in the church as well. We see it all the time. Who you are when no one is looking is sort of your heart. As was told of a story of this elderly gentleman, his whole life he had hearing problems, hearing loss. And recently he went to a doctor that gave him the space age, technologically advanced hearing aids that were almost invisible. And it restored his hearing 100%. He went home. A month later, he goes in for an examination. And the doctor checks him and he says, "Man, your hearing is perfect." He said, "I bet your family is thrilled." He said, "I haven't told them yet." Doctor said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I just sit around listening to conversations. Why, I've changed my will 3 times already." It's not always as it seems, because sometimes we see people's hearts aren't always what they say, and what they say isn't always in their hearts. And it goes right into the church, as was the story of a pastor who he would preach certain things, but he actually had a personal offense against the worship leader and vice versa. They just didn't like each other. And they would rib and stab and buffer one another. And so the pastor would watch something that the worship leader would do, and then he would preach about it, sort of a way to nag him. And so he noticed that that worship leader didn't give very much offerings. And the pastor was in charge of the sermons, worship leaders in charge of the songs. And so the pastor would preach on the importance to give more in the offering. And he'd sit down and the worship leader would get up and say, "Let's stand, congregation, and let's sing the hymn, Jesus Paid It All." Pastor got upset. He said, so next week he noticed that that worship leader gossiped a little too much. So he got up and preached a fiery sermon on the dangers of gossiping. And the worship leader would come up after that and he'd say, "Let's stand and let's sing the hymn, I Love to Tell the Story." Pastor would get upset again. And he noticed that that worship leader imbibed a little too much. So he got up and spoke on the evils of drinking. And he went so far as to say, "If I had a vat of whiskey, if I had a case of beer, I'd pour it down the river." And the song leader got up and said, "Let's stand as we sing, Shall We Gather at the River?" The next week, the pastor came up and said, "I'm resigning this church. I'm fed up." He said, "Jesus is leading me to another church that's friendlier than this one." And the song leader got up and said, "Let's stand and sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We want to talk about it's more than heart. God always looks at our hearts, but our hearts can come in so many different conditions. how many come to church and our hearts have been taught by the world, or maybe broken by past events, or maybe because of some addictions, we have a confused heart, a misguided heart. In fact, Jeremiah says our hearts could be deceptive among all things, very deceptive. The wonderful thing is that when you come to Christ, He gives us a brand new heart. However, we still have to develop it. And this is what I want to zero in on. You see, when you come to Christ, He gives you a new start. He gives you a new heart. But He holds us responsible to develop that heart. It's brand new. But you can misstewart it. You can throw it away. You can misuse it. You can squander it. Or you can develop that heart. Remember, as someone once said, remember this, and you can write it in your notes, who you are is God's gift to you, but what you make of yourself will be your gift to God. Who you are is God's gift to you. What you make of yourself will be your gift to God. He holds us responsible to actually develop that heart, because you can squander it, you can ignore it. To find out more about this heart and to see how fickle it is sometimes, we're going to visit our friend Peter. Let me slide into this scene. It's the night before Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And he knows that things are going to go wrong. And so he warns the disciples and he says to them, and would you read it with me out of your notes? Jesus pulls the disciples together and he speaks to them. Read it with me. Go. Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." He was pretty convinced, wasn't he? He was pretty assured. How many of you believe that Peter meant what he said with all his heart? Yeah, I just want to warn you, in a few verses, he's going to change his mind about the whole thing. Now, how many of you believe he meant what he said with all his heart? How many of you say, "I don't think so"? How many of you are half-hearted about this whole thing? Yeah. Check one of those boxes. You think he meant what he said? Check one of those. Now, just a few verses later, everything changes. I'll give you a little bit of context, and then I'll cue you in as to when to read along with me. Let me give you a little bit of context. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Now read the next few lines with me. Ready? Go. "He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. What a poignant moment for Peter. Now, how many of you think Peter meant what he just said with all of his heart? Yeah, one. Good. All right. How many of you feel he didn't mean what he said? Three. Okay. The rest of you? All right. We'll check on you later. All right. Well, here's what I think. I think in the first time, Peter meant what he said with all of his heart. Absolutely convinced. Even though in a few verses, he's about to change his mind. But I want you to see something about Peter. Even though he was completely convinced and he meant it with all of his heart, although he was convinced with his heart, he hadn't built the capacity to follow through with that conviction. Write that in your notes, would you? Although he had, or he was convinced, number four, he didn't have the capacity to follow through with that conviction. You see, you're going to have more than heart. How often we make such commitments, like a young man, 20 years old, 21, saying to his girlfriend, "I love you with all my heart. I would never leave you." 3 weeks later, he finds someone better. "Oh, excuse me, see you later. I found someone a little better." Did he mean what he said with all his heart? He probably did. But he didn't have the capacity to follow through with that commitment. Because you see, if you don't have the capacity of heart, you can have the commitment of heart, but you don't have the capacity to follow through with that commitment. And it breaks down. So Peter meant what he said, but he hadn't built yet the capacity to follow through with that. So he didn't have a complete heart. He had the conviction, but yet was he to build the capacity. And if you have just a commitment, you'll start making commitments awfully quickly. And then you'll be making promises you don't have the capacity yet to fill. But were you sincere? Absolutely. But where most of us fall is not that we're not sincere, it's that we are yet immature in our love and we are not able to follow through with the commitment we made. And we make some pretty dumb commitments at that point. As was the story of this man, he says, "I've been reading a lot lately about the dangers of sugar and desserts on the human body. Therefore, I've made a commitment this summer. No more reading." We can make some pretty dumb commitments, but we don't have the capacity. Well, you say, "Wayne, how do you build that capacity?" Well, we're going to visit Jesus and a person asking Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment of all?" "Just cut to the chase, Jesus," this man said. "Tell us what's the greatest commandment of all." And Jesus says, "Oh, I'll tell you what it is. And would you read it with me under number 4 there, where it says the greatest commandment?" Jesus is about to answer him, and let's read it. Go. "Love the Lord your God with all your, and with all your, and with all your, and with all your." Stop right there. He doesn't say love the Lord your God with all your heart and stops. He breaks it down. And it's important for us to understand that he's going to talk about the importance of loving the Lord your God, not with just all your heart, but he's going to continue and say, love him with all your what? And all your? And all your strength. Now, if you take a look at this, he's saying loving the Lord with all your heart is important. But like there's three other things. So if this is 1/4, 1/4, 1/4, and 1/4, he's going to say it's going to require more than just heart. It's going to require you to learn to love God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now, there's a lot of things that soul may mean, but let's just say this equals emotions. It may include a little more than that, but your inner man. But let's just say your emotions. And then learn to love God with your thoughts. And then to love him with your actions. You see, a lot of times we love God with all our heart, but then our emotions get in the way. "Ooh, she's pretty good looking. Well, I told her I love her, but man, she's good looking." We have to be able to reel in our emotions to stay true to a commitment that we made. You understand? And if we can't do this, then you only have 1/4 of love. If this is 1, 2, 3, 4, if you have 4/4, then you have how much? Whole. God is asking us to learn to love him with a whole heart, not just a quarter heart. But if we're not careful as Christians, we stop at love God with all your heart. Good enough. The Lord says, "Well, you want to know the greatest commandment? Love him not only with all your heart, but with all your emotions. Can you reel in your emotions? Can you give up certain emotions that are tearing at you because you know a commitment that you made and you want to build a capacity to follow through with that? Well, what about thoughts? When your thoughts stray, can you reel them back in? And often when I'm thinking about something and I know it's a negative thought or a wrong thought, I kind of let it play out far too long. That's why the scripture says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are right and pure and just and of good report, if there be anything worthy of excellence, and if anything be worthy of praise, let your minds dwell on these things. He also says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, our danger is that we give audience to stray thoughts for far too long until it gets a hold of us. And our minds start to control us. Our thoughts control us. Can I encourage you? Don't let your thoughts control you. You control your thoughts. Because you see, when you come to Christ, our minds have been taught by the world. It's untutored. It's been unmentored. So when we come to Christ, He gives us a new heart, but we got to renew our minds. You see, God holds us responsible for the capacity of our heart. He gives us a new heart. How are you doing on developing that? You have to train your mind. Don't let it train you. It's sort of like people walking their dogs. You've seen some people walking their dogs. You see other people, the dogs walk them. And the same thing can be true with our minds. Our minds start to pull us rather than us reeling them in. Say, no, I'm not going to think that way. I reject that thought. That doesn't line up with Jesus. And God is saying, now you're starting to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And God says, I want you to do this. I don't know. I'm too scared. I got to have more courage. And finally you say, I'm going to do this because, not because I like to, but because God has asked me to. And you go through with it. And the Lord says, now you're building the capacity of your love. You had the sincerity of your love, but now you must build the capacity of your love to follow through with the commitments you have made. So when that person said, what's the greatest love of all? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It takes all four out of four. And then when you do, you will have built the capacity to love others as yourself. Because you see, to do that, you're going to have to love people with warts and problems and people that are cantankerous and people that are belligerent. What kind of love is going to cover all of those sins? A love that has a great capacity to it. Not just a love that's sincere, a love that has capacity. So the greatest commandment of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Would you write in your notes, God knows that the capacity of your heart is infinitely greater than the intention of your heart. God knows, number five, the capacity of your heart is infinitely greater than the intention of your heart. Write that in number five. And who does God hold responsible for that capacity? You and me. Write in number six, our heart must grow in our capacity to love. And then 7, 8, and 9, write these things down on your soul, your emotions, mind, your thoughts, strength, your actions. Then you say, Wayne, how does God increase that? Because our hearts have to grow in its capacity to love. Because I'm sincere, but often I don't quite have the capacity. Well, let me put it this way. The way that God increases the capacity of our hearts, because He can't, let's say God has a huge promise here to be able to love your family or love people or to love what God's doing. This promise here that gives you such great entree into the future and things of God has to be built on not a sincere commitment over here, but the capacity to follow through with that commitment. So you learn to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now God says, that's the kind of love that avails itself to me so that I can give you the promises that I have. Otherwise, I can give you a promise and you don't have the capacity to follow through with it. You squander it. You destroy something really good that I had for you. So before I give you this, I'm going to help you increase the capacity of this. And now you'll be able to handle that. Well, how does God build capacity? I'll tell you how. He tests our hearts. He tests our hearts. What do you mean? Well, He has to approve it. It's kind of like an inspector saying, okay, I approve this, now let's go ahead and give him that. Or, I haven't approved this, sorry, that doesn't happen over here. Well, how does God approve our love? It's sort of like this. I'm going to draw a car, and I'm not a good artist, so grace. All right, so here's the car. Okay. You don't know which way the car is going yet, do you? So here's the windshield, the door, and lights and grill. All right? Looks like a dog with a mustache. It's a Datsun. It's a Datsun car. Nissan, whatever. Okay. Now, here's the engine. The engine is right there, but you cannot see the engine because it's covered by a hood. It's covered by the sheet metal, you understand? But in order to prove that this car has a healthy engine, how's it going to be proven? Well, we have to test it. Well, how do you test it? Well, rev up the motor. Well, you can have a recording in the back seat with big boom speakers that sound like a car engine. The only way to know whether or not this has a healthy engine is this car has to move and go here. Now, if it is propelled to here, then you know that there is proof of what you cannot see. Proof that it has a healthy engine. Everybody got that? Okay. Now, you can't see a person's heart. And I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about your heart. But you can get the effects of this. If a person has the actions, he's able to curb his thoughts, he curbs his emotions, he brings it into alignment, you say, oh, there's the proof. So God's going to test these areas here to prove the health of your heart. And just like an engine, let's say that's faith over here. We don't know that you have faith until you're able to move the car from there to here. And then they go, ah, proof that that car has a healthy engine. Everybody got that? Good, because it's not true. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you see, this could be level ground or it could be slightly declining. And with a little bit of push right here, push, let's see here, push. Okay, so they pushes the car and gives it some momentum, and if it's level or a little declining, it could roll. Now, does that prove that it has a healthy engine? Not yet. Watch carefully. The best way to prove that this engine is healthy is it has to do this and end up here. The way God increases or proves our hearts is that He presents us with uphill challenges. You see, a lot of us have a level or declining kind of love. If everything is level, I love you. If everything is level, I have faith. If everything is a little declining, I'm good to go. But that doesn't prove our faith. Peter says that the proof of your faith is more precious than gold. And that'll prove to stand worthy at the coming of Christ. Well, what's, not your faith, what's the proof of our faith? Not that it can move from there to here on level ground or declining ground, but that when there is an uphill climb or an uphill challenge, this car can make it up there. Now you have a proven faith or a healthy engine. There's going to be times that God is going to give us an uphill battle. And it may come in many different forms. But what God is doing is He's going to approve your love so that He can release to you the promises that He has in store for you. The Lord has so much more in store. And when we learn to love Him, not with just all our heart, because it's more than heart, with all our soul and our mind and our strength, God says, now you have the capacity to love others like I love them and like you love yourself, something far greater. And that's the kind of love that changes lives. That's the kind of love that changes futures for the better. That's the kind of love that changes churches, marriages. That's the kind of love that changed the world. Can you say amen to that?
You've been listening to a message entitled More Than Heart with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Keep in mind, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, 24/7. Just go to Spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, Spreaker.com. Until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.